And right after following that week, guys, is a very important date. I want you to write this down, because this valley does not know the opportunities it's missing by if you miss this July 26th event, okay? Rick Manis from Orlando, Florida is coming out. He's going to spend a whole day just talking about the grace and love of God. And there'll be a little bit of testimony from him, probably his wife also, about how religion ran them away from God, how religion wrecked their relationship with God. And this is what Jesus told the Pharisees. Remember, he says, you shut up the kingdom. You guys in your long robes and say your long prayers to be seen by men, you shut up the kingdom for the ones trying to enter in. And you don't even go in yourself. So I like to say here at Grace Chapel, we're a church without religion. We're a church under grace, under the love of Christ. Amen. And 21st, Vacation Bible School. If you have kiddos, put out the word. We've already got the kids from the trailer park across in Midway that are coming. And let's talk about that for a minute, guys. Look around the room. Everybody here is from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different political persuasions, different whatever. I said, this is the only place, we used to talk about this, where people gather together and become one because we have one thing in common, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, Sean. I used to sit front row in Calvary Chapel, Kendall, Florida. I was a former DEA agent and four convicts sitting on the front row with me. One of them was one of the kind of guys, what do you call him? He kicks in the doors. Home invasion guy. He had actually gone around and kicked in doors and would come in and terrorize people at gunpoint and take your property and your money. I sat with him. Another one was a strip club bouncer named Lavelle. Big black guy. You can see why he was a bouncer in his life. He told me a story. He knocked out three guys at one time. Bam, bam, bam. Hello. And then another guy, Cali Cartel. A member of the Cali Cartel had the key to the stash house. And his job was, when he got the phone call, was to go to the stash house, get X amount of kilos out, and deliver them. And when he told the guy, he told me his testimony. He said, Chuck, I told the guy, I don't want any more of this. I've got a family, I've got a kid. And he says, I handed the guy the key to the stash out. He says, I want out. He says, the next thing I remember, the guy punched me in the face, and I'm on the floor, and he's on top of me with a knife to my throat. He says, you want out? He says, I'll take you out right now. And he says, it was by the grace of God that he got out of there alive. And the guy told him when he left, he says, if you ever tell anybody, I know where you live, I know where your wife lives, I know where your kids live. And he went home immediately, told his wife and kids, pack your things, we're out of here. And I met him, and we used to go around and do mission trips together. We're all from different backgrounds, but we have one thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ. And we're going to go into that a little bit today. We're going to go into the rest of Galatians. So if you have your Bible, open it up, and let's go to... Last week we were talking about, and I'll go ahead, let's just back up to Galatians chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Okay? And I was talking to Jennifer last week, and I said, I'm convinced people don't want to be free. They want to be told, you can't do this, you need to do this, you get your bedtime's this time, you can't have a cookie, but you can have one cookie and a glass of milk before you go to bed, but not tomorrow night, you got to do it. And you just want to be regulated. And it's like we just become sheep, and Jesus talks about us as sheep. How many times does he say, my sheep? And he is the good shepherd. Notice how God relates to us, the good shepherd. He's not going to lead you to stinky, nasty water to drink. He's not going to lead you to a pasture full of weeds. And he's not going to lead you into an area where the wolves are going to devour you. He has his staff and his rod for a reason. And it's not to strike you with it. Most churches, God's going to get you, Oakley. He's going to get you. He's got a big old rod, and he sees you do something wrong, he's going to smack you. And that's the way most churches will preach about God. No wonder we're confused about who our God, how our Father is. No wonder we're confused, because we don't understand his love. Now, if you think about it for a minute, who else would die for you? Who else would die for you? Who else would go to a cross and die an agonizing death for you? Who? And if they did, would it even matter? No, it wouldn't, because they have tainted blood. They're like us. They're nothing but a human. It took God's only son. Paul is saying here that the people in Galatia had fallen from grace. And I told you last Sunday what that meant to me when I grew up. It meant, ooh, I misbehaved. And I got out of graces with God. And I was judging everything based on how well I was behaving. How well I was performing. Did I curse that week? I went a whole week without cursing. I feel pretty good. I'm becoming holy now. And then the very next week, I would let out so many curse words over nothing. And I'll go, well, I guess I'm not holy anymore. And I live my life on this seesaw. I'm up one week because I feel like I'm pretty holy because I haven't cursed that week. And I haven't gotten mad at anybody that week. And I'm living this perfect little life. And then along comes something, catastrophe. And I'm down here again. Woe is me. God must be angry with me. God must hate me now. And I didn't understand my relationship with him. And it took me a long, long time to understand. He loves me anyway. He loves you anyway. You can't do anything to separate yourself from his love. And besides that, he already knows what you're going to do before you do it. Amen. So anyway, we're going further into Galatians, and he talks about circumcision, and he says neither circumcision or not circumcision means anything, okay? Because they were wanting the people that believed in Galatia by faith, they were wanting them, okay, you believe by faith, but now you need to go get circumcised to be like us, because see, we're children of Abraham, and the promise is that we be circumcised. And it's called conformity, people. It's called religion. I'm coming through Provo this morning on my motorcycle, and I see a guy with a white shirt and a tie on, and he can't be 12 years old. So I know he's not a businessman. I know he's not selling cars or a banker or a lawyer yet. He may be a lawyer in the making. White shirt and tie on. And he's walking across the street. And I wonder where he's going. Religion wants to put you into conformity. Why is he going? Because everybody, where he's going, everybody has a white shirt and a tie on. We feel comfortable with that. We feel comfortable where people look like us, talk like us, and behave like us. Now, who did Jesus hang out with? Sinners. And guess who else? Wine bibbers. The drunkards, the sinners. Yeah. And the Pharisees said, if he was truly a prophet, he would know that these people are sinners. He must not be holy like we are. And I saw this guy, and I'm thinking, conformity, conformity. Everybody turn to Romans 12. Everybody go to Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 2. The first one that gets there, read it out loud. Now listen very carefully to what she just read. Focusing on approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. focus on the will of God, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Who is good and pleasing and perfect? Jesus. Now, see, guys, it's the way you read the word. You either read it with the law in mind, on something you have to do, on some kind of performance you have to make, or you read it with what he's already done, with grace. Now it's not about you. It's not about you being perfect. It's not about you being good and pleasing. It's about him and you walking in that. Because Paul is going to keep saying that we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not in the flesh. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is that flesh of ours. And so we go back to Galatians, and we'll pick up in verse 7. He says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, guys, has anybody ever thrown a curveball at you in your life? Anybody ever play baseball? A few people, softball, any kind of sport. You get up there to the bat, and it's pretty easy to hit a straight ball. When that curveball comes in, you tend to jump out of the box because it looks like it's coming at you. And the hardest thing I ever tried to learn to hit was a curveball, and I never really learned to hit one very well. And my coach would scream and yell at me, quit jumping out of the box, Chuck. It's a curveball. Okay, but it looks like it's going to hit me. But it would curve and it would come inside and you had to just stay in there and try to hit it. And so people throw curveballs at you. And Paul has some very, very choice words for people that do this. And here again, he has the same mind of Christ. Who did Jesus get mad with? The religious people. Who did he get really angry with? Who did he call them? Sons of the devil. That's harsh, isn't it? What if I called you a son of Satan? Boy, that's pretty harsh words. That's what he called the Pharisees. Your father is the devil. You're your father the devil. You're a bunch of snakes. What do you say to the sinners? Do you want to be healed? Do you want your eyes open? Do you want to see? Not just physically, but spiritually. And I talked about this before. When Jesus went around healing the blind people, he healed more than one. He not only opened their eyes to physical sight, he opened their eyes to who he was. Remember this story? This guy was born blind since birth. Who is this guy that opened your eyes? Jesus. No. Wait. When did he do it? Oh, on the Sabbath day? Oh, he can't be a good person. He violated the law. He violated Moses' law. Jesus is the one that gave Moses his law. But they failed to recognize that. And he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was once blind and now I see. How many people can say that in their life? Raise your hand. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once eaten up by regulations and religion and performance and how I was doing. And I was self-focused until I got Christ-focused. And then I got a whole new perspective on life. I can rest now. I can actually be at peace. I don't have to fight with him anymore. Because me and God, we used to get in this fight. And then it would be a negotiation. Okay, God, just give me a minute. I need to go do my thing. And I know you're not probably going to like me anymore. You're probably going to hate me and you never want to talk to me again. But I'm just going to be me. And then I go and I do all this stuff and I get in the world and I get into flesh. And then I realize, you know, okay, God's angry at me. I won't talk to him. And so I close my Bible and I quit praying. This is the devil. He wants to tell you, Russell, You messed up, buddy. Told you. Told you you were going to do it. And God don't love you no more. And he doesn't care about you anymore. And he's really disappointed in you. You might as well just give up. That's the devil speaking. So who hindered you? He says you were running well. Means you were believing by faith. You accepted the gospel. You heard the good news. What's the good news? Jesus Christ paid our sins. Paid our way. Paid our debt. We're forgiven. Past, present, future. That's good news. And then along comes somebody who goes, yeah, but you need to wear that tie. You put the tie on if you want to be one of us. And remember what I told you last week? We label people and then we categorize, put them in a category. And then what do we do? What's the last thing we do? Dismiss them. I'm going to label you, Cynthia, and I'm going to put you in a category and then I'm going to dismiss you. And that's the way I'm going to live my life. I am perfect. You're not. Therefore, you cannot hang out with me. You understand? Yeah. This is what they were doing. So somebody come along and hinder them. Who came along in the garden and hindered Adam and Eve? So where does the root of that come from? Guys, we got to think deeper. We got to get deeper. Because what manifests in our lives comes from a deeper source. Who are you listening to? Who is your God? And if we're not careful, we'll start picking and choosing little verses that sound good and we'll put them all together and have our own God, little g. And it looks a lot like the person in the mirror. Boy, I like to look at myself. Boy, I'm looking good. Yeah, and if I were God, I would do this, this, and this. And some of the things I would do wouldn't be so pretty. And it definitely wouldn't be fair or just. But we know God is just. And we know God is there for us anytime we call upon his name. So don't let anybody hinder you. In other words, don't let anybody throw a stumbling block in front of you and say, Tanya, you're doing good, but I want you to grow as a Christian. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to see how much money you're giving to the church. Okay? We're going to check your checkbook. Okay? And if you want to be more like God, you got to give more money. And me and my brother got in this argument again last week. He came to visit from Michigan. Charles, we're not sanctified. It's a process. I said, Thomas, it is not a process. Sanctification means you are set apart. Raise your hand if you're set apart. Yes. What does that mean? You are a believer in Jesus Christ. You are set apart. You're his. There's nothing the devil can do about it. Not because you're wearing a tie, you're set apart. You're set apart because you belong to him. So we're sanctified, we're justified, we're redeemed, we're blameless, and we're holy. And did I leave out one? Righteous too. Entiendo? Amen. Don't let anybody hinder you guys. Don't let anybody put anything on you. If anybody starts preaching anything but Jesus and his shed blood and the way we walk by faith, tell them, get behind me, man. There's a long line of religions you can go join. There's a long line of country clubs out there that you can go join and be a part of. But don't come in here in this church trying to throw something on somebody. Because we're not going to have it. We're going to have the blood and we're going to have Christ and we're going to have love for each other and that's it. And Paul goes into this and he says, you are running well. This persuasion is not from him who calls you. The persuasion to do what? The persuasion to listen to another gospel. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. We got Jeff back there baking bread today. You know, what does leaven do? You know, leaven puffs it up, right? So, if somebody comes in, and this is why we have to be very careful, guys, who we listen to. There's a lot of people on YouTube, including me. You can listen to me. I'm perfect. But, no, but guys, if I ever say something from this pulpit that you don't understand or you don't agree with, please come and talk to me about it. Don't just run away from the church and say, Chuck's preaching something crazy. Okay? Because some things take a little time to understand. It took me 60 years to understand the grace of God. 60. And I still don't understand it. And I still am learning and growing. What does the Bible say? Grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Excuse me? Grow in the grace? How do I grow in His grace? You just sit there and you just, in amazement, God really loves me this much? And then you start thinking about it and you go, oh, I'm on another level now. I'm on another level now. And grow in the knowledge. How are we going to grow in the knowledge of Him if we never open our books? Guys, and this is where I'm going to start Bible thumping. This is where I'm going to start Bible thumping you guys. This is the last book the devil wants you to open. Now, I've had people, well, I don't understand it, Chuck. I would get away from the King James. The worst year of my life ever was trying to read the King James Bible. Oh, but it's the only correct version, Chuck. No, it's not. They're all a translation, guys. They're all a translation. So which one is the best? I've read them all. Well, not all, but I'm working on it. I read a different version every time. Within 9 months, I'm reading a different version of the Bible. You ought to get the Bible and read it every day. Where do I start? Wherever you want. I got a list right here in the front of my Bible. I'm just showing you guys. This is what I do. And this is the only thing that keeps me sane. I come in here. I just circle the books I've read so far. And when I've read them, I circle them until I get them all filled up. 66 books. And then guess what I do? I go get a brand new Bible. And I love these things. I love them. And my buddy Ian was talking about this week how hard it was preparing the raft for us to go on a one-day trip down the river. He spent 2 days preparing the raft. We had to go to the city market grocery store in Moab, get sandwiches, get ice, get water, get some drinks, get some snacks. Oh, then we had to put gas in the car. Then we had to go to the takeout. Then we had to go park my motorcycle at the inn where we have a way to get back to the truck. The list went on. Transfer everything from the truck into the raft. Then we got to put sunscreen on because it's hot and cover up. Make sure you got your sunglasses. You're going to be on the river for 7 hours. You got everything you need? Yeah, okay, I think. And he says, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to go rafting again, is what he told me. And he said, what he was saying is, Chuck, what's left to do? How about skiing? The guy grew up in Netherlands. Colorado. He grew up skiing. He said, I don't even want to do that anymore. I got to put the skis in the car. Then I got my little girl's skis. Then we got to get the clothes. Then we got to get the tickets are $300 a piece. And then we got to drive to the ski resort. And then we got to get out and put on all our stuff and our gear to go down maybe 3 times. And I could tell he's getting kind of depressed. He's like, well, what else is there? And I said, you know where I found the most satisfaction in my life, and don't laugh at me, is sitting in my cabin by the fire with my Bible and a cup of coffee. It don't get no better than that, guys. It don't get no better than that. But we got to take the time, grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. We got to take the time to understand who He is and to read about Him. The volume of the book is written of Him. We got to do it. The world's going to come against you. The world's going to come against you. And it will destroy you. Raise your hand if the world has ever tried to destroy you. Now add drugs and alcohol. Yeah. You've been destroyed. But the good news is He's in the business of redemption. And he's in the business of, it ain't about the drugs and alcohol. That's the devil trying to get you off track. That's the devil trying to get your mind in the gutter. It's about the love He has for you. Right, Marta? God loves you so much He can't take His eyes off of you, girl. And your little baby coming along in 10 weeks. Amen. I have confidence in you, verse 10. The Lord will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear His judgment, whoever he is, one who is disturbing you, the one hindering you, saying, it's not enough, Chuck, just to believe. It's not enough just to have faith. You've got to put your tie on and conform. You know, I'm riding my motorcycle. I don't have a Harley. I got a Honda. I don't fit in with the Harleys. You don't conform. You can't ride with us. Denomination, click. Denomination, click. Religion, click. You don't have a Harley? You don't have a real bike. Go get yourself a real bike. That's why I tell all my Harley friends, I used to own a Harley, right? I'm not beating up a Harley. I used to own a Harley. I've owned them all. Honda, Harley, KTM. But all my Harley guys used to go, Chuck, when are you going to get a real bike? I said, well, when you bought your Harley, did you get the coupon that came with it? They're like, what coupon? I must have missed that. I said, oh, you didn't get the coupon for the trailer? Where you can trailer your Harley to where you're going and you ride around for about 5 minutes and then put it back on your trailer where you can get it home safe. Mahana, I don't need a trailer. It's a joke. Don't let anybody hinder you. He's saying, Paul is, I love the heart of Paul because he's just like Jesus. He gets mad at the people that are trying to put things on you and burdens, the Pharisees. Put that tie on or you're not one of us. Look around the room. We had Joe used to come here. Y'all remember Joe? Joe Burton? He'd come in here, Skyler's dad. He'd come here with what? Shorts on. Shorts and a tank top. You go to church with shorts and a tank top? Yep, I go to Grace Chapel. We can go in there any way we like. God loves me anyway. I don't have to put a tie on. Wow, okay, that's kind of cool. When Chuck Smith started Calvary Chapel, they were out on the beach praying, and they saw these kids with surfboards. And they started witnessing to him, said, do you know the Lord? I don't know. Who's the Lord? Oh, you don't know Jesus? Well, we want to invite you to church. Well, we don't have any church clothes. Now, it's sad, guys. This is the way 90% of the people think. Well, we don't have any church because Chuck says, come just like you are. They did. They walked in with their surfboards, checked them at the door, had shorts on, no shoes, and sat down. And three of them got saved. And then the deacons were upset about it. Chuck, if these kids keep coming in here with no shoes on and all this dirt, they're ruining the carpet. And you know what Pastor Chuck told them? We'll rip the carpet out of this church before we'll tell those kids they can't come in here. And you know the rest of the story. That church grew to 1,000, to 10,000, to 30,000, to all over the world now. Just because one guy said, invited three surfers to church that didn't have church clothes. It says, I have confidence in you that the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but I, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In other words, Paul is saying, if I'm still preaching, you have to do something. Why am I still persecuted? Because it's going to persecute you if you don't conform. You're not one of us. And he says, a stumbling block of the cross would have been abolished. You ever heard of the cross as a stumbling block? Yeah, it sets us apart. People stumble over the cross. They don't know what to do with it. They're like, well, if I believe in him, then I can't really put confidence in myself. That's right. Well, if I put faith in him, then I really can't, you know, be seen for my own glory. That's right. But I have something to do with this, right? Nope, you don't. Well, then I don't want to hang with the cross. And now you have religion. And we'll finish up real quick and we'll go into the last verse next week. For you were, he gets really upset here again with the religious people. I wish that those who are upsetting you would even mutilate themselves. Wow, how's that for a translation? For you were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But what? But through love, serve one another. Serve one another. You see somebody that needs a word of encouragement? You don't have to ask people. You can see it on their faces sometimes. We did street ministry down in Cartagena, Colombia years ago. And we would just walk down the street and talk to whoever. And I remember walking down the street and this guy came by and he had a real troubled look on his face. And I was talking to him through an interpreter. And I said, I see you've had a very hard life. This guy started crying. How did you know that? Dude, it's all over your face. I see that hope's been taken from you. And I see that you're tired and weary. And I've got a solution for you. His name is Jesus Christ. And we prayed right there on the street. And he said, I believe. That's all you got to do, guys, to serve one another, is lift each other up. Don't pull each other down. The world pulls you down. Don't criticize. Don't judge. Be judgmental. Just say, I love you. Well, how can you love me? Amen. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Now watch this. Paul says the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And then he says a sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's a sentence. So what are you saying? I have you circle that word love. That's the one word Paul is talking about. Love has a name. Love has a name. His name is Jesus. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And so, you shall love your neighbor yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, listen to what he says, and I'm going to close out here. If you bite and devour one another, he's talking to Christians, guys. If you bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. Where's our focus? On him. Which means if we're focusing on him, then we're going to focus on others. Because that's what he came. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. And the disciples are walking along, figuring out who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And he says, you guys don't even know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're even talking about. He says, he who wants to be great must be servant to all. Who was servant to all? Jesus. You guys are getting it now. It all circles around back to him, the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, the living, breathing God who gave you breath, who created you, saved you, redeemed you, forgave you. Your sins are gone forevermore, never to be remembered, vanquished, loved, grace, love and more grace, love and more grace, love and more grace, love and more grace, forever and ever and ever, and you will never comprehend it. Tom, let's sing a song. I know you're going to try to sit down. And I timed it just perfectly because he wanted a hug from granddaughter. But I said, no, I'm gonna mess him up. I'm going to hinder him. I'm going to hinder Tom. God bless you guys. Remember these dates, July 26th. Do not miss that. If you miss it, seriously, I'm not going to be mad at you. It's not about me. But if you, it's to your own detriment that you miss this event. Because you're going to be blown away by this guy. The name of the conference is Freedom Fighters. Because you have to fight to stay free. You don't have to fight to stay in bondage. People are going to do that to you easily. But if you want to stay a free man, it's going to be a fight. Because somebody's going to want to come along and say, Jeff, you need to put a tie on. And I want you to say, no, I don't. God loves me anyway. God loves me without a tie. God loves me without even a shirt on. I don't even own a shirt. And God still loves me. How about that one? Well, you can't be one of us. Well, I don't want to be one of you. I want to be with him. Wherever he is, wherever he is, wherever he goes, wherever he's at. And you are. You are with him because he dwells within you. Now comprehend on that. Chew on that this week. Huh? Yeah, his spirit is within you. You're nothing but good. You're nothing but righteous. Even when you sin. His spirit is within you and will keep you in all circumstances. No matter what. Till the end. He's got you. Remind yourself of that this week. He's got you, Chambray. And he ain't never going to let you go. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this time to worship and be with you, Lord. And we love you. We lift you up. We pray you bring more to hear your word. You bring more to hear the love and grace of you. And more about your forgiveness. And not about your judgment. And not about a bunch of rules and regulations. In Jesus' name, amen.